Well, good morning. What a privilege it is to be with you all this morning. Like Zach said, we've known each other for a few years now, and it's just been a blessing to serve with him and to know him and his family. And so I'm honored and privileged to be here with you this morning. Before we get into it, I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll jump right into the text. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. God, I pray that we would just be obedient to whatever you have for us. And Lord, we would just say, here we are, use me, do a work in our lives, Father. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would encourage us in areas in our life where we need to be encouraged, Lord, that we would feel your presence, Lord. God, we know that as believers, that you're already with us, you're here with us, your spirit is dwelling within us, Father. So we know you're here. And Lord, we just pray that you would do a work in our lives, God, and we would just be obedient to whatever you ask us and call us to do. And we ask all this in your name. Amen. All right. This morning, we are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and flip there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And as I was praying, Zach reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and asked if I could come speak on this date. And I began to pray and seek the Lord of what he would have for me and what he would have for all of us this morning. And this is a text that the Lord has been working in my life personally and been doing a work in my life. And so I just kept coming back to this text. And so I pray as it has convicted me in areas, I pray that it would convict us in areas where it needs to. And then as it has encouraged me, I pray it would encourage you as well. Because one of the big things we're talking about this morning in this text is forgiveness. And that is a big, open-ended, broad topic at times, but it's also a hard topic, right? Because forgiveness, a lot of times for us, if we are having to forgive someone for something, it's because they have hurt us. They have done something to us. Something has happened in our life to where we are now having to forgive that person. And that's hard. And it's not easy. And so we're going to look at this text and see what Paul says. And in this time, Paul, there was a rebellion against him. And so someone has rose up against him and started a rebellion. And so I can imagine if I was Paul and someone was to raise up and start a rebellion against me, that'd be hurtful and it would hurt and it would be hard to overcome that. But then here we see just some instructions and some commands that Paul has for the people in this text. And I think it's a good example for us to follow and also just ask the Lord to give us this heart as well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. It says, "Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ." In verse 11, we'll stop here. "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant to his designs." So, church, this morning, there is maybe times in our lives where you have been wronged or you are going to be wronged. Maybe you feel like everyone is against us or against you. But how we respond to that matters. What we do moving forward from that situation matters. Now, in this as we talk about this, we're going to be looking at the example that Christ has given us in forgiveness. And Pastor Zach read that this morning. We've sang about his love. We have sang about his forgiveness. And so when we're talking about this, I don't want us to think, okay, how should I forgive based off what they have done to me or the forgiveness that I think they deserve? But the example that Paul is saying that we are to follow is the example that Christ has given in his forgiveness, which is free. And as we go to him and we ask for his forgiveness, he is quick to forgive. And through reading this passage and through what the Lord's been doing in my life and the big prayer that I've been praying is, Lord, help me to be quick to forgive. Because if we look at Christ, he's merciful, he's full of mercy, he's full of grace, he's full of compassion. And when we come to him and we lay our sin down at his feet and we ask and we search for his mercy and for his forgiveness, he is just to give it and he is quick to give it as well. So how we respond to these emotions, how we respond to these things are important. Another thing I want to encourage you with is we have to protect our hearts. During this time, it's easy to keep those things, keep those emotions within, but protect your heart. And how you do that is submitting it and surrendering it to the Lord. Guys, emotions, they're real. How you feel, how people make you feel, it's a real thing. And the Lord has created you with emotions. But he's also created us where we don't have to carry these burdens and carry these things on our own, but we can go to him and lay them at his feet. And he helps us and he gives us rest during those times of heartache and those times of hurt. So like I said, this passage, it's written after a time where there's this great rebellion against Paul. And Paul's writing here to encourage the people to follow his example like Christ and forgiving the person who is actually the head of the rebellion. Now, in our flesh and in our own strength, I want to say it is impossible to forgive those who have wronged you. In my flesh, in my own strength, in my own desires, what I feel like is right, I'm not able to do it. But through the power of the living God, of the Holy Spirit, who is dwelling within every believer, it is possible. And because he is victorious, because he is quick to forgive, because he has forgiven, we are then able to forgive as well. Now, another thing that we see here, one of the main points, if you're taking notes, that I would encourage you to write down, is that there is healing in forgiveness. There is healing in forgiveness. Now, the first few verses here, we see that there are still consequences for what happened. Our decisions and our actions and what we do, there's consequences for those things. And it says here in verse 6, for such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So the punishment that they have laid out, what's happening to this person, he said, hey, that's enough. We don't need to do anything else. That's his punishment, and that's okay. But now, at this point, this is what we should do. Instead of tacking on more punishments, more things on top of his sentence, this is what I urge you to do. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him. And how many of us is that our first reaction, is to comfort and to go to that person who has wronged us? It's not my first response usually. But hopefully and prayerfully, by the grace of God, as we are drawing closer to him and he does a work in our life, we can say that. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. And then verse 8, I really want to spend some time here as well. It says, so I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. To reaffirm your love. These are people that probably love Paul, and they've been hurt by this rebellion, and it's hard to move past that. And Paul is saying, listen, go and reaffirm your love. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, what does that look like to go to someone who has wronged you, has done this to you, and hurt you so deeply? What does it look like to reaffirm your love if there is an act of repentance? Well, if we just look at the gospel and if we just look at our own lives and how Christ, when we come to him and we repent, he comes to us with mercy and grace. And what he does with me, he reaffirms his love for me. He reminds me who I am in him. He reminds me of the price that he paid for my life, which was the Lord sent his son for you and for me. And so when we go and we repent, he is quick to forgive, and he's also quick to reaffirm the love that he has for you now, yesterday, and tomorrow. He's quick to do so. And so for us, as someone has come to us and they're repenting and they are confessing the sin against us, I think it would be Christ-like in the example that he has given us, even in our own lives, to be quick to reaffirm that love. Say, brother, sister, I love you and I care for you, and we can work past this. We can work together to move forward. I'm reaffirming my love for you. I think another thing that we need to remember is when anytime wrongs us or they sin against us, first and foremost, they're sinning against a holy God. Like, it's not just you or me that they're sinning against, but their sin is a direct disobedience and a direct sin against God the Father. And if they go to Him and He forgives them, then who are we to withhold forgiveness? If He is able and He is willing, then so should we. Is this act of love and obedience and living with someone in an understanding way and loving them, it's an action. It's not something that just passively happens. It's not something that we can just hope happens one day. But it is an action where we have to work at it. We have to put this into practice. So as we're seeking the Lord and we're asking the Lord to do this work in our lives, Lord, help me to be forgiving. Help me to reaffirm my love. When He gives us those opportunities, we have to act. We have to put that into action. It's like, and I am obsessed with football and UT football, pretty much anything football. So last night was a great night for me, as it was fun to watch. But if all they did was practice and they never went and played the game, they never went and competed, they just practiced every day, I mean, what fun is that? I loved football. I played football my whole life, but I practiced so we can go and play a game and win games. That's why I wanted to do it. I wanted to win. And so for us, if we're asking the Lord to do this work in our lives and we're practicing, we're asking Him to work, but we're not being obedient when He gives us opportunities to live it out, then what are we doing with it? Because when we ask for these things, oftentimes the Lord will give us opportunities to live it out. So giving forgiveness, it's healing for the person who is receiving the forgiveness, but church, it's also healing for you and for me. Because it's in that moment that we are able to truly live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord is giving us an invitation to join Him in the work that He is doing in the forgiveness. And so for you and for me, it is healing as we forgive. Because one of the things we're doing, we're saying, Lord, I am completely giving up control of this, and I'm giving this to You because You are the one who is the ultimate forgiver. And so at the end of the day, I want to encourage you with this, because I think there's times where we worry about the reactions of others, and that keeps us in disobedience, okay? And so because we're worried about what others will say, what others will do, or how they will respond, or how they will react, we stay in disobedience instead of truly going to that brother, going to that sister, and forgiving them for what happened. And so do not let the actions of others encourage your disobedience. Don't let the actions of what you think they're going to do keep you in disobedience and not reaffirming your love, not forgiving as Christ has forgiven. Now, this morning, church, this is the design that the Lord has set before us. This is what I like to say, any commands or anything the Lord has given us, it's like guardrails. If you're driving up the road, the commands and the law, everything that the Lord has given us, it is not to keep us for something great, but it's to protect us. Because He knows outside of these guardrails, outside of this, it leads to death and destruction. Because anything that's outside of the Lord's plan, we know is from the enemy. And the enemy came to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so anything outside of the guardrails that the Lord has laid out for you and for me will lead to death and destruction. But in His path, in His ways, it is righteous and is holy and is good and is the path that He has prepared for you and for me, that He has called us to set out on. So church, this is the design that He has. This is the way that the Lord has set it up for us to forgive and to play a part in this. In this passage, we are reminded to forgive as Christ is forgiven, not to compare how that person has forgiven me in the past or how other people forgive, but as Christ has. As human nature, we are good at comparing, right? We're real good at it. But when it comes to our walk with Christ, anything, we are not to compare with other people, but to hold up the word of God, to look at the care, look at the character of Christ and say, Lord, search me, try me, look at my heart. Lord, am I living out what you've called me to do? And am I doing it in the way you've called me to do it? So don't compare ourselves to others, but to Christ. Set our eyes to him as the example. Now this morning, it's a pretty big call. For Christ to be the example that we're following, it's a pretty big deal. We're not called to forgive as we see fit to the extent to the person that's forgiven us, but we are called to forgive to the extent that the Lord has forgiven us. And so for me, through this passage, through the last couple months, what I've asked the Lord to do is, Lord, remind me of your forgiveness. Remind me of your mercy. And in this, as we're living this out, and as we are forgiving others, Christ is reminding you of his great love for you, even in that. So this morning, I just ask you to, when we're done this morning, just to think and to ponder, maybe even right now, what is the extent the Lord has forgiven you? What has he done in your life? What is the work? How has he forgiven you throughout your life? The second point that I have for us this morning, as we know, forgiveness is healing for you and the person that you're forgiving. But unforgiveness is the plan of the enemy. Unforgiveness is the plan of the enemy. Here in verse 11, it says that so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. So if forgiveness is the plan that the Lord has set out before us, then unforgiveness and harboring those things in our hearts is the plan of the enemy. And you may say, well, Jared, how is that? Like, how does that really work? Because when we keep those things in our heart, when we keep those things close to us, and we just try to deal with ourselves without surrendering it all to the Lord, then that turns into bitterness. And that turns into a hard heart. And then when those things take root, when those things happen, we become disobedient, we become further away from Christ and not living for him as much. Because our heart has become hard and bitter towards that. And this morning, church, the enemy would want nothing more than to take away forgiveness and love with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if it is the design of the Lord that we would love each other, reaffirm each other in our love, to forgive one another, if that is his plan, then the opposite, like I said a minute ago, is going to be the enemy's plan. Because the gospel is all about forgiveness and mercy and love. And so the enemy would want nothing more than the church, for us as believers, to not be showing any of those things. The church would love, the enemy would love nothing more than a church to be divided by hatred, bitterness, and division because we weren't submitting and in humility under the Lord and willing to forgive a brother and sister who has come to us seeking forgiveness. And so if we allow him to take the love and the forgiveness away from each other as Christians, as believers, if we allow the enemy to take that away, then we are allowing him to keep us from really being the church. So here is Mascot Baptist Church. If your mission and your desire is to reach the community and for them to see Christ in you, then it goes with this too. I think I'm a chaplain with FCA at Gibbs High School for their football team. And I was talking to the head coach there a couple of weeks ago. And he was just talking about some things that's going on within the program. And he said, you know, Jared, as we're dealing with young people, and church, I think this goes with all people, but as you're dealing with young people, I think one of the biggest things you can do to really show Christ and the work they're doing is to admit when you're wrong. And when you are wrong, to ask for forgiveness, to go to that person, even to the players. And church, I thought that was a big deal. Like for him to understand that and to know that, like, hey, if I'm wrong, if I have wronged a player, if I've wronged a coach, one of the biggest things and most important things anyone else around me could see that if I'm following Christ is that I admit that and I'm willing to go to that person. And so there's going to be trials. There's going to be hard times. We're humans. We're going to wrong each other. But it's how we react to that. It's us going to each other to reaffirm our love for each other, to forgive one another. And when the community sees that, they really see the church being the church. So if we are to reflect Christ in all that we do, which includes the way that we forgive and the way that we love, then the enemy would want nothing more than to harm that image. I've met several people over the last couple of months, at the church I'm at Fountain City. We have a mentoring program and a couple of at the elementary school. And a couple of the students that I've mentored, the last two that I've mentored, have never heard of Jesus. They've never heard of the gospel. They've never been exposed to it. And church, there's more and more households, even here in our community, in this area, that have never heard the name of Jesus. They never heard the gospel. And so how they see the church and how they understand the gospel is really from how we interact with the community, but also with one another. So if we are unwilling to forgive each other and to love each other, then is the community, is the church, are other people going to want to be a part of that? And so it's so important that we are following this example that Christ has given us because we live in a watching world. We live in a world that is watching us to see how we react, how we respond. And church, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. No one in this room is perfect. If anyone in here says they are, that just proves they're not perfect. And so none of us are. But how we forgive, how we reaffirm our love for each other as we go to each other and ask for that forgiveness is a way that a watching world can see the redemptive work of the blood of Christ play out right in front of them. And so in a way, this plan that the enemy has to deceive us and to outwit us is a direct attack against the Lord, because it's a direct attack against his plan that the Lord sees fit for his people. And so because of that, church, we have to know that this is all part of spiritual warfare. And church, spiritual warfare is it's a real thing. And so as the enemy has a thought out plan, he is trying to outwit us. He is thinking of whom he can devour, and he's searching for whom he can devour. We are in this spiritual warfare, but I want to encourage you that as we are in Christ Jesus, the Lord has already defeated the enemy. And so because of that, we are already victorious. So because we share in his righteousness, we share in his victories, because Christ has already defeated the enemy, he is already victorious, we share in that also. Because guys, church, I know there's many times where it feels like you're just defeated. You don't know the next way to go. You don't know what the Lord has for you. Maybe even in these situations where there's some hurt and pain going on, I want to encourage you, if you are in Christ, you are victorious. The Lord has already won the battle. He's already won the war. But there's still this, as we are here on earth, there is a spiritual warfare as the flesh is fighting against the Spirit of God. And so if we are to fight the good fight and fight this fight against the plan, then we also have to have a battle plan. And that comes straight from Scripture, even from this text. If we are to fight against what the enemy is trying to do to cause division amongst us, where we're not willing to forgive each other, then we just have to look at Scripture and say, Lord, what do you say? Because the enemy, one of the ways he attacks us is to deceive us. And he feeds us lies. And so the best thing that we could do is to get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, remind me of your word. God, remind me of your truth. Remind me who you say that I am. Remind me who you have called me to be. And Lord, remind me what you are calling me to do. Because church, if we aren't reminded of who we are, then we're never going to be able to do what he's calling you to do. And so even in this, you're never going to be able to forgive and reaffirm your love until we are constantly reminded that we are forgiven and that we are loved by a Father who sent his Son to die the penalty of sin for you and for me. As we have to be reminded of those things on a daily basis, ask the Lord to remind you of that. And so if we know that his design, if we know that this is his designs, and we know it's not good for us, why would we even tempt it? Why would we even fall into it? So this morning, I encourage you to allow the Lord to show you truth. There's a saying in today's culture is, you know, well, this is my truth. This is what I believe. And that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to go and search for your truth, to search for what you believe, but I'm asking you to search truth, that Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So to seek him in this. Don't seek your own way. Don't seek your own truth. Don't make your own opinion, but say, Lord, I'm seeking you, and you are truth. You are the way. You are the life. So, Lord, you and your word and your spirit, show me truth. Remind me of truth. And allow him to do that. And ask the Lord to remind you of the forgiveness that he freely gives to you. So this morning, I'm going to close here in just a moment. There's just some closing thoughts that I have for us that I want the Lord to remind us of this morning. So as we close today, first of all, have you experienced the forgiveness of Jesus? Have you truly given your life to Christ and you have submitted to him and experienced the forgiveness and love that Christ has for you? Have you done that? And then if so, and I ask you to just ask the Lord to remind you of that forgiveness on a daily basis and the love and the mercy that he has for you. And also, have you extended that forgiveness to others? If someone has come to you and asked for your forgiveness, have you freely given that? Have you worked through that? Have you given that? Are you harboring those things in your heart? And have you given these things up to the Lord? And so are you holding on to any of those feelings, or have you truly surrendered it all? This morning, I pray that you are able to rest in his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. And then out of that, you will be able to extend it to others. So this morning, the biggest thing that I have for you all, just to be obedient. The Lord, he calls us and he invites us into his work. And he just asks us to be obedient this morning. So don't be obedient to my words or what I've said or what I've done, but just to the word of God and what the Spirit is calling you and asking you to do this morning. So as I pray and as we sing, maybe there's someone here you need to forgive. Maybe it's leaving here. Like I said, we need to put these things into action. Maybe it's leaving here. You need to make a phone call. Maybe it's here. You just need to come down and kneel at the altar and ask the Lord to remind you of the forgiveness that he's given you. Whatever it is, just be obedient to whatever the Lord has for you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning. God, I praise you for your work and what you've done and what you're going to continue to do, Lord. God, I pray that above all things, that we would just be obedient to you and what you have for us, Lord. God, remind us of your great love and remind us of the forgiveness and the mercy that you've shown us, and help us to give those to the people who seek it as well, Lord. God, as people, I pray that as the community sees Mascot Baptist Church, Lord, that they would see a church who loves you and loves people, Father. And Lord, help us to walk in obedience. Help us to do and be who you're calling us to be. Help us to do what you're calling us to do. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.